From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Bob Gould.
Well, good morning, Veterans Radio right here in beautiful Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I'm broadcasting here today. We've got with me my partner, Dale.
Good morning, Robert. How are you this morning?
Oh, it's Robert? What, I owe you money? What?
Yes, absolutely. It's not the most beautiful day in Michigan today, but it is fall, so we're all excited that we're going to be talking a lot about it. I'm excited to talk about all the things that you've got lined up for today's program.
Can you believe we heard from Jack Roush? Oh, he's going to be on in just a second. And I got this phone call the other day from Mr. Jack Roush of Roush Industries. First of all, I thought it was a buddy who was playing a little trick on me. But no, it wasn't. It was the Jack Roush. And I think we're going to get right into that, Nina. All right. So our first guest today is Mr. Jack Roush. He was born in Kentucky, 1942, raised in Manchester, Ohio, where he was recruited by the Ford Motor Company. He joined a group called the Fastbacks in 1966. Ooh, that'd be cool just to find out about those guys, eh? The Fastback. But it was not long before, after the Fastbacks disbanded, that they were doing development work for other teams. Mr. Roush worked for Chrysler as an engineer before leaving in 1970 to start his own engineering business as the Fastbacks disbanded. Mr. Roush has also spent some time teaching. In between his racing ventures, he taught mathematics, physics, and a variety of automotive subjects at Monroe Community College in Monroe, Michigan. Okay, and then on the racing, a friend of mine wanted me to ask Mr. Roush this, and I think I will after, what about the Mustang package, the high performance? Well, I want to hear about that. But at that time, Mr. Roush went into racing. He has won 5 championships across NASCAR's 3 Premier Series, 2000 Truck Series, Nationwide Series, Sprint Cup Series. Whew. And in 2009, Mr. Roush claimed his first Daytona 500 trophy. Man, and I still got another page to go. His success does not stop with the race team. He also, of course, as the president of Roush Industries, employs 1,800 people. He's primarily known for providing engineering, develop a significant role in manufacturing for the electronic sports, aviation, and motorsports industries. For 38 years, Mr. Roush has been committed to winning on and off the track, having won 32 championships in more than 300 races in drag races, sports car, and stock car racing. Whew. Roush Fenway Racing is one of NASCAR's premier racing teams. And now I'd like to welcome Mr. Jack Roush. Jack, welcome to Veterans Radio.
I'm in Talladega, Alabama here, getting ready for a 500-mile race on Sunday. But I heard about your Veterans Radio program, and I wanted to come in and talk to you a little about anything you want to talk about, but particularly about 3M's Hire Our Heroes campaign that I'm really excited about. We've got a celebration coming up for it.
Well, why don't we talk about the 3M car, the Hire for Heroes campaign and 3M. Jack, how did you get involved in that?
Well, first, 3M's been a sponsor of my Greg Biffle car for about 10 years now, and they look for things in the community and the country that are interesting that they could touch and be supportive of, and they realize that American troops are returning home and have returned home from overseas face unprecedented unemployment rates. The challenge has been for the soldiers to match their military skills and training with career opportunities at home. 3M, recognizing that, recognized the need for qualified technicians in the collision and repair industry through their supply, being a supplier to that industry of tape and sanding materials and so forth. And they've since created an opportunity for these returning veterans to find rewarding careers in with the right education and support. The ultimate goal for 3M is to, in their Hire the Heroes campaign, is to support the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and raise an awareness of this need and to help drive employment in the collision repair industry that's very lucrative and is a growth industry in our economy.
So now you have a car, the Hire the Heroes. Is that number 16, driven by Greg Briffel? Has that been raced before?
No, that'll be the first time, and it'll be raced November the 3rd in Fort Worth, Texas, with this livery. The famous automotive designer Chuck Foose has actually created the motif for the car, and I saw it the other day. It's gorgeous.
Oh, I bet it is. Where? What's that website that folks can go to?
The website it would be 3M's. You Google 3M's Hire Our Heroes campaign.
Okay.
That would be to find information about it. But
okay.
The one involves the 3M for this year, and I don't know what their plans are for next year, but for 2013, they're donating $250,000. For tool grants and scholarships through the Collision Repair Education Foundation. That would be a website, I'm sure, that would talk about it as well, the Collision Repair Education Foundation. And a portion of that money also goes to support Operation Comfort and their automotivation program. And that program in particular is organized to provide opportunities for wounded soldiers to channel their automotive skills as they're going through rehabilitation. And in that regard, they'll restore vehicles for families that are underprivileged and that are not automotive, but that have got need for cars.
So, as we're all going to be paying attention to that race on November 3rd, we could, all of us as veterans, could look at that as our car. Our car is going to be out to the veterans' car. Hire the Heroes. What kind of car is that, Jack?
It's a 2013 Ford Fusion. 358 cubic inches, about 1,000 horsepower. And Greg Biffle is just—he's a senior guy in my driving lineup, and he's ready to drive it to the front.
And Dale, you're shaking your head there.
No, it's a little bit better than the Fusion that I saw at the lot in the Ford dealership the other day.
Yeah.
Probably, you know. But I just wanted to ask you about this whole program. It seems amazing that not only is 3M involved in the Hire the Heroes program, but there are a whole bunch of other corporations that are donating to this plan to get these veterans to work in the automotive repair business. That's really cool, I think.
It is cool, and it 3M is a great company. They've got just a myriad of great products that support our economy and the workforce in all kinds of different ways. But they work with American Red Cross on blood drives, and they do a lot of support for the hospitals and the other medical institutions around the country for research, as well as for taking care of patients.
Now, Jack, are you still have time to fly that Mustang?
You know, I'm surprised that you haven't seen it fly overhead. You know, it's located in Willow Run there, close by, and I go northwest of Willow Run over Domino's Farms into the quarter northwest of 23 and 14 there. That's my playground. I go out there and do loops and barrels and all kinds of aerobatic procedures in order to keep myself sharp.
Well, if that's a two-seater, my partner wants to be in the second seat. Isn't that right, Dale?
I don't know. Helicopters don't go upside down and roll.
No.
All those other things. That's what I liked about them.
Folks, I saw Jack Roush go up, I don't know, 8,000 feet or something, till almost, this was at the Thunder Over Michigan about 7 years ago, go all the way up, I think it was 8,000 feet, and just about everybody lost sight of him. We were just looking at a little glint. He turned down, came straight down, and leveled off at about 200 feet off the deck. My hair, I don't think, still hasn't quite completely come down on the back of my neck. Jack, when you pull on that stick, what in the world were you? How do you know when to pull the stick? How do you know?
Well, your depth perception is real important. You know, I enjoy going to the Reno air races occasionally and watching what goes on out there. And one of the things they make clear, they says, you know, you can set a speed record today, but you won't set a record for low altitude. So the low altitude record can only be tied and it not to your comfort or not successfully being able to survive that. So you have to keep track of where the ground is and make sure that that's the most important thing on your mind.
I would think so. And folks, he leveled off It might not even have been 200 feet and just roared right across the crowd. Oh, man, what a thrill that was. Boy, you really raised it that day, and I'm sure you're going to be raising it on November 3rd over there in Texas with number 16, the Hire the Heroes car. It's going to be representing all of us veterans, all male, female, Hire the Heroes. Oh, I love that. To have a chance to have a job in the automotive industry and the repair business. Does that also include the paint and Bondo and or whatever? What do they call it? Yeah, all that.
All those supplies that the body shops or automobile repair shops use. Yes, they make all that. And they make the highest quality and the best functioning supplies in their respective market areas. There is one other thing I should make sure I mention before we close, and I'm not suggesting we stop talking about this, but 3M is a member of the board member of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce because of their hiring the Heroes program, and is one of 15 corporations that have been honored by the U.S. government as a Freedom Award recipient. So they've gotten national government recognition for this program, and as they should, and it's going to be a really big deal.
Well, we're giving you national recognition right here on Veterans Radio, right, Dale?
Absolutely. I'd like to just kind of go over again the Hire the Heroes campaign and what they're trying to do. You mentioned the Collision Education Foundation as one of these support groups that are going to be training the veterans. How do they get in touch with these organizations to get on the list to get the training?
Well, they go to the Collision Repair Education Foundation website or the 3M website, and under the Hire the Heroes campaign, either one of those should get you hooked up.
And obviously this is a profitable business that these men and women can get involved in.
Oh, yeah, the automobile repair business is about to go booming again as the upper part of the United States turns into winter. You know, we'll have a lot of collisions through ice and snow and other things that happen that cause people need to fix their cars up. So it's an area of the economy that's really recession-proof. As long as people are driving on their highways and byways, you know, with a certain percentage of the time, once 1 mile in 100,000 or 200,000 mile, a car is going to have some kind of damage and it has to go to a repair place, and that's where we see the opportunity for the soldiers and the sailors and the airmen to make a contribution or to do something that would let them be independent and be able to take care of their own families.
I think it's a great opportunity for these men and women because, you know, we're keeping our cars longer because they're more expensive to buy. And I think about every time I go to my car repair man, I keep putting his kids through college. I said, well, there's another semester, you know, when we fix whatever it happens to be this time. So I would strongly encourage people out there, all you mechanics and aircraft mechanics and tank mechanics and so on and so forth, this seems like a no-brainer to me.
Oh, it's a no-brainer, absolutely. And Jack, we do here at Veterans Radio want to thank you for your involvement in the Hire the Heroes campaign. Will you be, how many years have you committed to this?
Well, the fact is I don't know what the Ralph Fenway commitment has been in terms of what the term is, but, you know, they're kicking it off this year with $250,000 in investment, and we'll see what kind of interest they've got and what kind of backlog we've got at the end of the year, and then we'll make a determination of where to go from there. But, you know, it is off to a great start, and it is something that's very much needed. I think it'll be recognized as we go down the road as one of the things that's really been a benefit to the returning soldiers, sailors, and airmen.
Will the car, the Hire the Heroes car, be in this area at any time in the future?
That's a good question. I'll get back with you on that. I don't know specifically if there's been a show car organized for a tour on that. If there is, I'll keep your phone number and I'll give you a call and let you know where it would be and when it would be. But, well, you know, we've got my daughter Susan has got a museum of many 3M cars and a lot of Ralph's Industries memorabilia on Market Street in Livonia, north of Plymouth Road and just west of Levan. And I don't know what the address of it is, but if you Google a Roush collection, it'll show the location. But it's in Livonia. It's just north of Plymouth Road, and it's just west of on Market Street, which runs in, parallel to Levan, just west of Levan, the ways from the Ford transmission plant there. And if we have a show car, I'm sure that's where it'll wind up residing.
Now, folks, that's Roush, R-O-U-S-H collection in Livonia, Michigan. Did you find it, Dale?
Yeah, it's Roush. Yeah, actually, I did. It's RoushCollection.com. And there's a whole web page there with directions on how to get there and a photo gallery, and looks like all kinds of neat things. I am a little concerned about this Roush Fenway group, though, because we can't talk about Fenway on our program today because we don't know what will happen there tonight.
No comment, well, right, Jack?
I'm partners with John Henry, one of the principals in the Fenway Red Sox ball team.
Right. Yeah, I was reading that and thought that was pretty interesting.
I've been to Fenway Park more than I've been to Comerica Park.
We have to work on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to work on getting my schedule changed around so I've got time to be there.
If we got just a second, I noticed that you had mentioned that you taught at Monroe Community College, and most of these community colleges, and maybe this is something 3M can do or somebody can work up, is to go into these automotive departments, because there's a lot of veterans that are going to the community colleges because it's affordable and they have great automotive repair programs going on there. So maybe if you take your car on a tour, we could go around all these different community colleges and say, here, this is something that we can help you work on.
Now, you're going to be racing the car next year, right, Jack?
Yes, but to the best of my knowledge, there hasn't been a decision made to run the Higher Heroes livery, the image of it, the paint job, except for this race and upcoming race in Fort Worth, Texas.
And next year, Dale and I were speaking this morning at breakfast. Next year, we would like to propose to you that when you're going to have the car racing, that we do a live veterans radio program from the raceway the morning of the race. How would that be? Would you like that?
I would like that.
Well, we'd certainly like it, and we'll contact Ms. Darnell about that and get some information to you, as we've done these off sites many times, and I think it'd be perfect. How about you, Dale?
Let me give you the June 15th. They gave me yesterday the 2014 race schedule, and June 15th is a race at Brooklyn, Michigan.
Oh, MIS. There we go.
That's
MIS.
It. That's it. We're going to be broadcasting live June 15th from Brooklyn, Michigan, right there at the NASCAR, Michigan 500?
Yes. I'm not sure who the sponsor of it is, but it's a Michigan 500. It's a 400-mile race. It's not 500 miles.
Okay, June
5th. The race in Texas is 500 miles. The other, we're actually racing Michigan twice next year. It's June 15th and August 17th.
Okay.
A lot of times radio programs will be sent live on either the August 16th or the 14th. You should have contact with the folks out at the Speedway there and find out which would be the best for you. But a lot of times they're done on the Saturday in preparation for the race on the Sunday, because Sunday gets a little bit hectic.
And it gets very loud.
And it gets very loud. So Saturday's a really great day.
Yeah, they are.
Jack, we want to thank you for being on the program and invite you to come back again. Will you come back again?
Yes, Bob.
Oh, well, we'd love having you.
Let me give you my phone number in addition to the one you have for Amber.
Sure.
Now, my phone number is
3175.
And you give me a call anytime.
3175. Yeah. Got it. Thank you, Jack. Thank you very much. Good luck to Hire the Heroes and Mr. Biffle, who's out there driving that car. And we'll be talking soon, Jack. You have yourself a great day.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Dale. Thanks, Nina. Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
Oh. Boy, was that something. Well, anyway, we're going to be right back with our next guest, Mr. Rob McDivitt, director of the Ann Arbor VA healthcare system. So don't go away.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Okay, we're back on Veterans Radio. Boy, that was nice to hear from Jack Rouse. Hire the Heroes, November 3rd in Texas. There's going to be a race. Oh, that's really cool. With me right now, and I'm looking at it, many times he's been a guest on our program, is Mr. Robert P. McDivitt, director of the Ann Arbor VA healthcare system. And boy, do we have a lot to ask Mr. McDivitt. May I call you Bob?
Sure, Rob.
Rob, okay. Yes, and my son is a Bob. He wants to be a Rob. I understand that. Rob, wow, you had a lot going on in the last 30 days. So it must have really kept you on your toes. There was a shutdown. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. The federal government shutdown, as I said a couple of weeks ago when I had the privilege of calling into the show, Bob, does not affect the Veterans Health Administration and our hospitals, our clinics, our community services, Veterans Justice Outreach Program, our homeless veteran program, all continued.
Now, why is that?
The VA has what's called an advanced appropriation for the Veterans Health Administration, and last spring Congress passed and the President signed a 2014 budget for the Veterans Health Administration. So we're actually one of the few departments of the government to have a budget for the entirety of this fiscal year and are covered through September 30th of 2014.
We had John Dingell on the program many years ago, Congressman John Dingell, and he talked about that these appropriations are 5 years in advance. Is that still true?
It's actually a two-year appropriation where they do 1 year and then the following fiscal year, so we know what's coming 1 year ahead. It's a change that happened about 4 years ago in the VA budgeting process, and certainly from my perspective as a medical center director, it's been a great plus for us and gives us a lot of security. And I think there was no question that veterans health care would continue during this time, but it was very nice to know we had a budget in advance.
Well, I think it was even nice to know that you folks are so well prepared for this. I know all the questions that Dale and I had when this first took effect a couple of weeks ago were answered immediately. And so you folks were prepared for us. Our congratulations from Veterans Radio and all the veterans out there for being so well prepared and to be standing by to helping folks. Now, the Affordable Care Act, the ACA, took effect October 1. I'm a veteran. I receive care at the VA. Do I have to sign up?
Well, the message to veterans is if you're enrolled in VA health care, you meet the minimum essential coverage requirements under the Affordable Care Act. You do not need to go on an exchange or purchase additional health care insurance. That's certainly an option for any veteran who would wish to do that. But if you're enrolled in VA, you are covered under the law. You would not have to pay a tax penalty in 2015 on your 2014 taxes or anything of that nature.
And it meets the minimal requirements, correct? It meets the MEC, as they're called, minimal essential coverage.
Right. The VA coverage, which, of course, is prepaid by virtue of your military service, no monthly premium as part of VA, does meet the requirements of the law. And we're getting the word out to all veterans. A letter went to every currently enrolled VA patient across the country from Dr. Robert Petzl, the Undersecretary for Health, advising each veteran that the law makes the requirement. We're also encouraging veterans who are not yet enrolled for VA health care to contact us and to enroll for VA health care, which you can do by either going on our website, which is www.va.gov, or calling the national enrollment number, 1-877-222-VETS. Which is 222-8387.
I love that. I don't like that other stuff.
And you'll be connected up with an enrollment or eligibility coordinator.
Yeah, it must be my ADA. There you go. That helps me. So once again, I got a call. In fact, if Mr. Fitzgerald is listening out there, I got a call from a listener. The information operator gave Veterans Radio. They were looking. The gentleman was looking for the VA healthcare system, and she gave him Veterans Radio. And I got the call, and he wanted to know how he could enroll. And I didn't know what to tell him. I said, "Well, call the VA system," but I think he was a little reluctant. He wanted more information. And this right here, this is it. So if you do want to enroll in the VA health, what kind of eligibility do you need to be in the VA healthcare system?
Sure. We encourage every veteran to enroll and go through the eligibility process. We find that many veterans, even those with Purple Hearts, Agent Orange exposure, former POWs, oftentimes don't consider themselves eligible for VA. And once they go through the program, we make determinations. Basically, veterans who are service-connected and have a service-connected disability will be eligible for VA care. And there are income criteria for other veterans. Certainly any Vietnam veteran who served in country will be eligible for VA care. Former POWs, any recipient of a Purple Heart is eligible for VA care. But in general, any veteran who served, contact us. We'll take you through the eligibility process, and a determination will be made on eligibility.
I was getting some care the other day at the Ann Arbor VA, and it was busy. It was crowded. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen it crowded before. I've not seen it this crowded. Maybe it was just the morning or what. But it looks to me, and here you are, encouraging more enrollment. That means more space is going to be used at the VA. What are you folks planning for the future? I love the Ann Arbor VA, by the way, and I like all the investments, and good job, absolutely excellent job as being. How long have you been a director?
I've worked for the VA system for 32 years
but at this
six medical centers, and I've been here since 2009, so 4 years here.
I can see the difference. I really can see the difference. And once again, congratulations to you. But all these, this is going to be this large influx. Now, what is planned? I mean, here, the waiting room was not only crowded, it was packed. And what about the future? What for clinics and stuff?
Sure. As a government agency, we don't make a profit or have a loss, and our profit is actually in the lives of veterans we have the privilege of touching. I was very pleased in fiscal year 13. We grew 7% in veterans treated, and for the first time here in Ann Arbor, we treated more than 60,000 veterans. Actually, 61,400 veterans were part of our health care system this year, which is a record level. We've also tried to accommodate that, as you said, tremendous growth. We had two significant projects that opened in the last few weeks. One is a brand new emergency room.
Why don't you tell us about that?
It was the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act project, funded in 2010. We built an addition onto our building. It is a state-of-the-art, veteran-centered healing environment with things that you normally don't associate with emergency rooms: a fireplace, a water feature, a focus throughout on veterans.
Can I bring a cot and maybe
you
a hot
need
plate?
One, Bob. Very, very well equipped with the most modern equipment. Our physicians use tablets instead of computers. That they can go bedside to bedside. All private exam rooms, 17 rooms, really a state-of-the-art healing facility. We also opened a new inpatient unit at that same time, inpatient heart care telemetry unit, 28 beds, private room, private bath, again, a very veteran-centered environment. When you come onto the unit, you see an art display of letters that school children wrote to veterans from around the country, as well as some inspirational quotes. Family waiting areas, things that you traditionally have not associated with VA hospitals in the past.
No, and there's really a real effort at that, to bring in the whole family as part of the treatment modality. Is that something that was pre-planned, or it just sort of grew by topsy?
Well, it's grown the last several years. The Caregiver Support Act passed Congress a couple of years ago. It provides a stipend to family members for severely disabled post-9/11 veterans. We have a caregiver support coordinator in Ann Arbor, but the program goes much beyond the stipend group in that we have family support groups, we have couple support groups, we have a support group for spouses of veterans who are suffering from Alzheimer's and things of that nature, and we're doing much more with the family than we ever have in the past.
Now, folks, remember, this is at the VA healthcare systems, and you can go to www.va.gov to find out if for sure you're eligible and how to enroll in your local VA healthcare system and all these fabulous things. In fact, there was an award here, Deal of the Year, Best Deal of the Year by the emergency departments. To talk about that. Congratulations, by the way. Best Deal of the Year. I love it.
Our emergency room was nominated along with a couple of other healthcare projects from the greater Ann Arbor community by MLive for the Deal of the Year, which will be awarded the 1st of November at a banquet here in town. We think it's reflective of the healing environment we've created for veterans, of the innovative care that will be provided in the emergency room, and we're certainly very pleased that that's recognized in the greater community here as well.
When are they going to make you a national leader? with that success rate and that great attitude that you have and that you've brought over to the VA in Ann Arbor, and I'm sure this is repeated over and over and over again. Is that what you're finding, that more and more training is going into directors as yourself to the new way of delivering health care? I mean, the whole thing on the lounges and the artwork and the fireplaces and all of that. Is that now being repeated over and over again with you folks?
It is. The mantra in the VA is personalized, proactive, veteran-centered care, and you see that throughout the country. The new VAs that are under construction, Las Vegas recently opened, Orlando is in the pipeline, New Orleans, are all designed on the principle of veteran-centered care, and all the things that I talked about, pleasant waiting areas, fireplaces, waterfalls, very interactive staff and volunteers, family support are very much a part of the VA healthcare system these days.
Well, what is something that is a part of all VA healthcare systems and gets us to the final topic, mental health? And I know that was part of your recent summit. Why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. This year, August 15th, for us here in Ann Arbor, but at every VA across the country, we put on a community mental health summit. And the summit was designed to create community partnerships that benefited veterans for mental health. For us here in Ann Arbor, we were pleased to have Congressman John Dingell, our congressman, at the summit, as well as representatives of several of the other congressional offices here in Michigan, representatives of the court, mental health providers in the private sector, the Washtenaw Health Initiative. We're here in Washtenaw County and our partners from there. And throughout the day, we talked about how we could work together to better serve and support the mental health services for veterans and families in our community, and it was a very productive day.
And it does touch on so many of the issues in our daily lives, employment, homelessness, recreation, legal issues. And you folks cover all that?
We see ourselves in many cases as either a provider or a connector, and we have a very active Veterans Justice Outreach Program. We now work with 7 Veterans Treatment Courts in Michigan and Ohio, including here in Washtenaw County with Judge Easthope, who was at the summit, where veterans who fall into the justice system are given an additional chance, but it's an additional chance in partnership with the veteran, and in many cases involves treatment in a VA facility.
Now, you mentioned here VA interfacing with community providers. Just give me a little bit more detail on that. You're going to be going out into the community and contracting with providers, is that it?
Not necessarily. In some cases, we've had a long partnership here, obviously, with the University of Michigan Health System. Great programs like the Buddy to Buddy program, where a current combat veteran returning from Iraq or Afghanistan is matched with a combat veteran from a previous generation, is a partnership between VA, University of Michigan, Michigan and the National Guard of Michigan. But there are many community partnerships, particularly with the Affordable Care Act coming online. We're concerned that veterans who have not come into the system and perhaps are in another health care system would want to know about their eligibility and the ability to be connected to VA, and we're doing those kinds of things. I also mentioned the family support, and in many cases we provide tremendous family support for veterans, spouses, and others. In other cases, we can connect them to a community partner.
Folks, if you have a question, please call us at 877-573-7825. We've got a few more minutes with Director Robert McDivitt of the VA healthcare system here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Call us at 877-573-7825. Now, what have you found on the mental health? Are the patients, are the veterans reluctant to get involved in that, or have you been able to broach that and bridge that reluctance? I mean, they don't want to talk about this, right? I mean, Dale knows a little bit about that. He's raising his hand. Go ahead, Dale.
I am raising my
hand. You can speak.
No, I know that there's a little bit of reluctance going on there, but the Affordable Care Act has added additional mental health benefits. It's one of the things that have been included in the new program. And so, I mean, they've increased the amount of visits that you can have. They've increased the amount of therapy that you can get and so on and so forth. So what we have to do is we have to make sure that the veteran, you know, knows that even if he's not near a VA, under the new program, he's going to have more mental health benefits available to him or her. And so we've just got to get the word out that it's okay to, you know, just go in and talk to somebody. You know, we've all got our demons every once in a while, and it'd be nice to talk to someone and find out that you're not the only one that might have those demons. And I think that's the main thing I've found about the mental health issue, is that we all, those of us that had difficulties, thought we were the only ones. And I think when you, especially at the VA, you can go over there, there are group sessions. If you're not comfortable talking to just one person, maybe you just want to sit and listen to other people, you can. And I really encourage the veteran to do that, because we're all here to help. And the idea is that, you know, we all have your back. And I think that's, you know, in fact, there's another program that's out there that's called, you know, We've Got Your Back. And that the whole thing is that, you know, when you're in combat and when you're in the military, people are watching out for you. And it just continues on. And I want to make sure that you don't go 30, 40 years before you take advantage of some of the services that are available at the VA. You know, most of us think, well, I don't need it. Other people need it more than I do. Well, you know, we all add to the knowledge base that, you know, the VA's, in my own mind, they're specialists in the veteran's mind more
yes,
than
they
any
are.
Other, mm-hmm. than anybody else is. So why not go to the experts?
That's right. Veterans talking to veterans. I think that's one of the first criteria in your hiring when you rate somebody, what is whether they're a veteran.
Well, it's so hard to talk. Sometimes it's just so difficult to talk to a civilian about your experiences in the military,
mm-hmm.
because they have no way of relating to it. And they're just saying, yes, you know, I'm nodding my head here. Yes, yes, I understand. Well, they empathize, but they don't really truly understand.
Rob, I'm somebody, I show up at the VA, I didn't call, I didn't go to .va.gov, I walk in the door because I don't have a computer, and by the way, I do meet a few vets that don't have a computer, and I made a few phone calls and it kept busy, so I walk in, what do I do?
Sure. We will do everything we can to make sure that a veteran who walks in the door gets enrolled for care. It helps if you have your DD-214 or other proof of military service with you. If not, we have databases we can go on to look for that. We've had emergency transfers where veterans who have not used the VA system are coming through another healthcare system in the middle of the night, and we've been able to make eligibility determinations and get veterans in the door. But I would encourage veterans, all veterans, to pre-enroll and go on that www.va.gov website, fill out the enrollment form. It's easy to do. VA will then be in contact with you, and then you're set up for when you walk through that door.
And folks, you can have private insurance. You can have private insurance and still use the VA facilities. Tell us about that, Rob.
Right, absolutely. Many of our veterans, I'm also a patient in the VA system here in Ann Arbor. I have private health insurance. When I get care in the VA, they bill my private insurance and they pay the VA. We collect about 10% of our revenue that we use to operate the hospital and hire doctors and nurses and buy medications and do all the other good things we do from insurance companies and from the co-pays that veterans make for some of the care they receive with us.
I'm still going back. I just came out of the parking lot. I'm standing there in the lobby. Who do I ask to see?
You would ask for the eligibility office
if
you've never been to a VA before, and they will connect you up.
And that's it. You can go right to the eligibility office. Dale, what do you have?
I just encourage people to go to utilize a system. The vast majority, it seems like, of the VA health centers around the country are affiliated with major universities or major medical schools. So you're going to get top-notch care. You're going to, it's just a great opportunity.
Veterans talking to veterans.
I found that to be the most helpful because, you can go in and you can just talk to another man or woman that's sitting in a waiting room, and the next thing you know, you got another great story going or a new friend.
New friend.
Where were you? And you find out that you were stationed right next to each other.
In the Corps.
It's always, and they're everywhere, and it's great because you can see the 20-year-olds up to the 90-year-olds. And they all, they all signed that line. It said, I'll do what you want me to do. And this is the payback, guys. This is the agreement that the government made with us. If we decided to go, they promised they would take care of us. And they are, finally.
I once had somebody say, well, when do we put a stop to it? Like, after how much? No. This was the deal. This is what we all agreed to do. And so the government and folks like Rob McDivitt here are making sure that that gets delivered to us. Emergency care. I want to cover this very quick. Emergent care and the VA. If I am enrolled in the VA, I don't have private insurance, and I'm down there in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I step on a man of war, what happens?
We encourage veterans, if you're having a health care emergency, to go to the nearest emergency room, whether that be a VA hospital or another facility. That you need to make that 911 call and get the care, and we'll sort that out afterwards. Veterans who do not have other health insurance and are regularly enrolled in the VA and regular users of the VA are likely to be eligible for emergency room payment for non-VA care under what's called the Millennium Health Care Act, passed in 2000, as the name would indicate. But again, our first message to veterans is if you're having a current medical emergency, go to the closest emergency room.
And then you tell that person that you are a VA member or a VA patient.
Right, and let them know that you're a veteran and ask them to make contact with the nearest VA hospital, and we can arrange transfer as appropriate when you are stable and able to be transferred to the VA if the nearest emergency room is not a VA.
Wow, that was certainly a great deal of information. And we've got about one more minute. I'd like you to make a statement to our listeners, and go ahead, Rob, you've got it.
Sure. We had another celebration this week, Bob. It was the 60th anniversary of the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System. We cared for our first patient on October 12th of 1953. The Ann Arbor VA was one of the Level 3 hospitals built by General Omar Bradley when he was the administrator of the VA from 1946 to 56. And General Bradley did...
Was he really?
He did two tremendous things for the VA, going back to Dale's comment. One, he signed Memorandum Number 2, which affiliated VAs with the best medical schools in the country, and that's where the Ann Arbor VA came from.
U of M. Mm-hmm.
And secondly, he built over 200 VA hospitals and opened 200 VA hospitals in an unprecedented contribution.
Wow.
So we remember General Bradley this week as well.
That's right. Oh, the VA has been involved in veterans' lives for, 6 years now? But I think the whole VA health system has been...
The VA health system started after World War I in 1929, and again, we've had the privilege of caring for southeastern Michigan and northwestern Ohio veterans for 60 years here.
Do you have VSOs on staff there? Not on staff, but on site?
We do. We have representatives of DAV, VFW, American Legion, and can connect veterans with other service organizations as needed, but we do have VSOs right in our building.
Yeah, the VSOs, Veteran Service Officers, are what's right that can they can give you a hand. They're also there. Everybody's there to give us veterans a good experience and to get to these benefits. Dale, do you have anything else to say to him?
No, the only thing I have to say is that coming up after your next break, we have a VSO that's going to be here to answer your questions.
Well, I keep looking to see.
Well, you read your... He's waiting for you.
Oh, he's on the black phone. Okay, got it. Rob, thank you very much for being on the program. Please come back again.
Will do. Thanks, Bob.
Nina.
You're listening to Veterans Radio Live on WDEO 990 AM in Ann Arbor, WDEO 98.5 FM in Naples, and you can find us online at avemaria.net.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Oh, we're back on Veterans Radio, and as Nina keeps pointing out, I should always read the whiteboard, right, Nina? Mm-hmm. On the line right now is a veteran service officer, Mr. Mike Smith from the Department of Veterans Affairs, Washtenaw County, right here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Mike, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Bob, how are you this morning?
Better than the weather. Let's put it that way. Are you in Toledo?
I am, and it's just as bad down here. I'm sitting here in a parking lot outside of the Student Health and Activity Center at Owens Community College, and I'm going to go in and watch some college basketball.
And don't forget some great college football this afternoon. We won't talk about that right now. And
I just wanted to point out, as our last guest, Robert McDivitt, was leaving, he pointed out that he's going down to Toledo to go to the Toledo Navy football game. And what is happening at the Glass Bowl in Toledo is they are dedicating one seat in the entire stadium to all of the POWs.
Wow.
For every game, that seat will be empty to honor the POWs, and they are honoring a veteran at halftime, which is what they do down in Toledo, evidently. So God bless the University of Toledo. And
Zips. The Toledo Zips?
No. They're the Rockets.
Oh, okay. Akron.
It's the Akron Zips.
Well, they're in Ohio. Close
all the
proximity.
But anyway, so anybody that's down in the Toledo area, and you want to get, well, I wouldn't say go out and enjoy the weather, but... here's an opportunity for you to honor veterans.
Mike, you are a VSO, Veteran Service Officer, with the Washtenaw County of Veterans of Affairs. Who are you? What do you do, et cetera? Why don't you tell us?
Well, Bob, thank you for having us on this morning. It's been a while. Mark and I have always enjoyed visiting Veterans Radio since your inception, going back to the days of my our dear friend, Gary Lilly, who I had the distinct pleasure of working with to file his claim and finally get him the service-connected benefits that he deserved prior to him leaving us. And that was one of the things that I'll always remember, that that man gave me the opportunity to help him with his benefits, and we were successful. And what I am and who I am is Michael Smith. I'm the director of Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Affairs. We exist solely on the taxpayer dollars of the residents of Washtenaw County, and we serve the residents of Washtenaw County, veterans, survivors, and dependents and other stakeholders in assisting them in pursuing benefits from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. We also have in our office the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund, which is a state program. It's an emergency grant program. But more importantly, we also have our Veterans Relief Fund, which is a fund that's levied here in Washtenaw County, again, on the property of the residents of Washtenaw County, to provide for a Veterans Relief Fund that we use to provide assistance to indigent veterans, their dependents, their survivors, their parents, and the indigent spouses and children of members currently serving on active duty.
So we
have a large customer base, and we have a lot of fun doing what we do. I have a staff of six, and that staff, along with myself, includes a veteran service, county veteran service officers. And my three county veteran service officers and I hold accreditations with nine veteran service organizations through the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, General Counsel. And what that means is that we are trained and accredited by the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs through these nine service organizations and recognized to be able to present claims on behalf of veterans and their survivors. We represent their claims. We work closely with our veteran service organizations who give us our accreditations. And we use our accreditations to advocate for our veterans and all the claims that we present before the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. We are very successful at what we do. We love, if you'd excuse me, Rob, beating the VA. Recently,
The system.
Can you imagine a U.S. Air Force veteran stationed at Eglin Air Force Base next to Site Charlie 52 Alpha, where they're dumping tons and tons of herbicides, and he's at radar site Charlie 9, and Charlie 6, about 9 to 10 kilometers northeast of that site. Well, after showing the Board of Veteran Appeals a couple of maps, and this young veteran going out and using some script that we wrote for him to advocate on the appeal that we wrote for him. And, yes, he beat the VA for $153,000 retroactive payment. Thank you very much.
Wow. But let's get back on this Veterans Relief Fund and helping caregivers and giving homeless. How do they find out about you folks? And are there services in town, in the county, that automatically refer them to you? How do they get referred to you?
Oh, boy, Bob, you asked a great question. We are connected with our Human Services Collaborative here in Washtenaw County. That consists of all the human services agencies like the Department of Human Services, state level, Community Support and Treatment Services in Washtenaw County, which provides mental health services, as well as other community agencies like Red Cross, Salvation Army. And we work real closely with them through referrals. They have a screening mechanism by which they identify veterans, and any that they identify, they refer over to us. We work real closely with our veteran service organization partners at the local posts, as well as those who are stationed over at the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System. And then, yes, the social workers and all the network of folks over at the VA hospital know that we exist, and they make those appropriate referrals. We also work real closely with the Washtenaw County Veterans Treatment Court. The Honorable Chris Easthope stood that court up last year on the 1st of October, and we've been working very closely with him. And yes, we've been assisting those veterans in pursuing and increasing their benefits. So people know that we exist. We're over at 2155 Hogback Road in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Give out that phone number, Mike.
Yes, sir. We serve all of Washtenaw County. And we are out-based, and we're going to get out to some of our out-county places here soon, but we're solely right now in our offices at 2155 Hogback Road. We're at 734-973-4540.
Now, folks, if you're not in Washtenaw County and you're hearing this program and you don't know where the local VSO people, whether they're at the local VA healthcare provider, the hospital, or they're in the community or what, can they give you a call, Mike, and just to give some basic info?
Absolutely. I love doing that, Bob, because like I say, information is free. And what we do is we will get them connected to a county veteran service officer at a county veteran service office here in Michigan, if they're in Michigan. But we also have a directory and a network of county veteran service offices around the nation. And so, yes, if you're down in Florida, you're well represented. Florida is a wonderful state. Ohio has a great, great group of veteran service officers at the county level, as well as Wisconsin, Texas. So we'll get you connected, so give us a call.
Well, we've got a couple minutes here before the end of this segment. The Fully Developed Claim FDC program, tell us about that, Mike.
Well, the Fully Developed Claim process, if you remember back, Dale, going way back to the days of well-grounded claims, it's nothing new here. It's just the VA has realized that they can do their work quicker if they use the processes that are in place. Here's what they've done. The Fully Developed Claim process gives veterans their Veterans Claims Assistance Act notices up front. With the use of disability benefits questionnaires completed by veterans' private treating physicians, either at the VA hospital or civilians, that now replaces the need for a compensation and pension exam. So when we file that fully developed claim, we're giving them the basically the CMP exam information on that DBQ or disability benefits questionnaire completed by the veterans treating physicians. We're giving them the VCAA notice up front. We're giving them all dependent information and everything right like we used to, but now the Department of Veteran Affairs is giving it priority processing, and they are getting these done supposedly within about 104 days, and they are pretty much on track at the Detroit Regional Office. Their average right now is about 127 days, so they're not doing bad in that fully developed claim process. Now, here's what the Department of Veteran Affairs did to give incentive to use the program. If this is the first time a veteran's ever filed a claim, if this is his or her original claim for benefits, that they're going to pay them 1 year's additional benefits.
Wow.
So if I file the claim today and my effective date is October 19th, 2013, they're going to pay me back to October 19th, 2012.
Oh, that could be substantial.
It is very successful, and that is how serious they are about encouraging their regional offices and their VA medical systems to use the fully developed claim process and all of us stakeholders out here in the field. The National Association of County Veteran Service Officers, along with the American Legion, the VFW, and the DAV, have all sent memorandums of support to the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, letting them know that we're going to support that program and we're going to use it when we file claims.
I just want to jump in with a real quick question. I had a couple of emails from people. Is how does this Affordable Care Act affect their TRICARE coverage? I'm sorry to lay that on you, Mike, but I mean, I pretty much know the answer, but I just wanted to get it from you.
Well, the information that we're getting about the Affordable Health Care Act are those who are covered by the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs through their health care system, or myself, who's covered by my employer at Washtenaw County, or all those who are covered by other insurances, they meet the minimum standards that are required by the Affordable Health Care in terms of coverage.
Right. I just want to get out to our listeners that your TRICARE is not going to be affected. You're still covered because it's a separate plan. You're not going to get any big increases in premiums. The only thing they may do is they are extending the coverage for your dependents from 23, I believe it is, up to 26, and you may have to pay a little bit more for those dependents for that time period. So,
and of course, the law does require notice of the possibility to obtain your insurance at a cheaper rate in that health market.
Right, But again, for those people on TRICARE, you don't have to worry. That's a Department of Defense program. It's not a commercial insurance company. So don't worry, folks.
Mike, thank you very much. We're at the end of our program. Thank you very much for being on the air. Would you come back again?
Oh, absolutely, Bob. I look forward to it. You and Dale do a great job, and we really appreciate all that you do for veterans. You guys do a wonderful job. Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you very much for being on the program.
Thanks, Mike.
Wow. Okay, very quickly, we want to talk about the 8th Annual Veterans Conference Meet and Greet, November 7th at the MSU Management Education Center, vetbizcentral.com. There still is some reservations, vetbizcentral.com. Nina, you have something?
I do. I have information. We recently spoke to Don Burgett about his Kickstarter campaign. He has 169 backers currently. There are 25 days left, but everyone should know that there's still time to contribute. If you contribute $20 or more, Mr. Burgett is going to include your name in his fifth book as a personalized thank you. So that's really cool, in my opinion. Back to you, Bob. We've got about 20 seconds.
Okay, right. So we go to veteransradio.net and get more information on that. Well, we're getting down. This is it. Dale, the end of another program, the end of another hour. Dale?
Yes, wonderful.
Go to
Kickstarter, check out Don Burgett, and you'll find his program there to add to it.
Okay, folks, until next week, Dale Thronberry will be your host. This is Bob Gould, Veterans Radio. You are dismissed.
Oh. All views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.